eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to Fantasy Football Today, DFS. This is our early look at the Week 11 main slate and a quick look back at the end of the show at our FFT DFS winner in one of my lineups. Meg, how was your Week 10?
You know, we talk each week about like doing the single entry and three max and earlier only, short or afternoon only, and that kind of saved me. I literally had two smaller field single entry or three max that was able to do a nice cash with a Dotson zero. So I still survived the Dotson zeros, basically the summary. And I'm very glad that I'm doing different types of tournaments. And we talk about that, so that's why I wanted to mention that.
Absolutely. Playing the early slate, playing the afternoon slate, I think it's really, really important. So everybody, please keep that in mind. You know, I did okay. I ended up getting onto some CJ Stroud lineups, which certainly helped. But it wasn't a great week. It wasn't a bad week by any means. I think I ended up breaking even. Definitely did well on the afternoon slate. And on the slate as a whole, I think I did well. And Meg, that was partly because of you. You had some really nice calls on the Tuesday show. So let's hope
Thank
we
you.
Can run that back. If we look at the Week 11, by the way, the FFT DFS link, it's already live. It's in the podcast description. It's in the YouTube description. If you're in the chat, it's even in the chat. So sign up for that. It's only $5. Top 20 get paid. Meg, we got an 11-game slate this week. And I think this one is interesting. I mean, we have a few high totals that I like and a few kind of middling totals that I also like. I'll just go over some of the games that stuck out to me, Meg. Cardinals at Texans. I mean, obviously that's one that people are going to want to get pieces of on both sides. It's a 48.5 point total. Bears at Lions. Now that's a 9-point spread, 47 point total. So that's certainly something that's going to be interesting. Dolphins at home, 48 point total. Looks like A-Chain might be back for that game. So that's interesting. Chargers at Packers. That's a lower total. I still have interest in that game for obvious reasons. I mean, anytime you're playing the Chargers defense, I think it's going to be interesting. Honestly, Jordan Love, who I don't like, didn't look that bad last week. So I think it's something to consider at around a 45 point total. And the Seahawks and Rams, that opened at 44. But it's gone up to 46 on the news that it looks like Matt Stafford is going to play. So of those games, I just mentioned five games. How about two that you think you're really going to dig in on?
I'm going to be honest. I tried to narrow it down to two, and I really couldn't. But I will say that the Dolphins game sticks out to me. The Raiders-Dolphins sticks out to me the most of all those. As far as the second one, at this point, I am, just to be totally transparent, struggling to narrow it down to a second one because I like a lot of those pieces of those other games that you mentioned.
Yeah, I think Cardinals-Texans is like the obvious one that a lot of people
right.
are going to gravitate to. That doesn't mean that's the one we should play. But like that's the one that really sticks out to me because you can do so much with Stroud, but you can also do so much with Kyler Murray, who came out really kind of firing, both with his legs and his arm, which was actually pretty impressive. And it's certainly a really high total. So I think, I'm really interested in that Chargers-Packers game for some reason on the Jordan Love side as maybe a slightly contrarian spot. But Cardinals-Texans and I would say probably Bears-Lions, I don't know. That one's tough. We'll have to wait and see. Our Friday game-by-game preview, we're going to have a lot of discussion on those games as well. Let's take a look. Let's bring up the quarterback position because I think this will kind of tell the story when we look at pricing. Hey, which one of these guys do we really want to latch on to? Because I know a lot of people start their – their lineups, especially the hand builders like myself and Meg, like you. I believe you do more hand building than anything.
Yes.
We kind of like to start to see where our stack's going to be. I mean, Josh Allen's at the top, really no interest there. I mean, if you want to play the bounce back narrative and that Josh Allen is actually good and he, you know, the last few games aren't reflective of what he's going to do, you can feel free to do that. It will be contrarian at home against the Jets. I'm certainly not going to jump aboard there. I think Tua is interesting at 7,700. Obviously, Tua to Tyreek is always in play, especially against the Raiders. Coming off a bye, like, this team could put up 30 in the first half, potentially. I don't think that's going to happen. But certainly stuff like that is in play on a Miami offense. Justin Herbert at Green Bay, I don't love personally. I think a lot of people will kind of like. I think he can run on Green Bay, so I think it might be a spot for Eckler. We'll get to that. I think Dak at Carolina is in play. Stroud is in play. There's a lot here. Stroud at 7,000, so he keeps kind of going up. If we look at the top of this board, let's just say 7,000 and above, I think it's probably Stroud and Tua that I have the most interest in. But of those top, let's say, five quarterbacks, any of them that you're going to play, Meg?
Yeah, of the top five, because that's not including Goff, right? Yeah, of the top five, for me, it would be actually Tua and Dak. I am not going to make the same mistake I did last week with, I just ignored Dak. I said, they're only going to get three quarters. I ignored them. Big mistake. Mm-hmm. And I just want to kind of, I'm not saying that, you know, hindsight's 20/20, right? So this week, hey, Dallas could get two defensive touchdowns, it could be all Pollard, and it's not Dak. So, but I just want to have at least one Dak lineup if I'm doing like five lineups, because I think, you know, in these games where they could blow out, he's usually a big part of it. And I totally overlooked that last week. So I would say Tua and Dak are my favorites at the top.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't play much Dak. I mean, granted, I played some guys that did pretty well, but I definitely ignored Dak. I wish I had gotten, it would have made sense to get like a Cooks piece in there or gamble on a Cooks or a Gallup, you know, and that's something I kind of, I didn't play any Pollard. I fully faded Pollard. I said I was going to fully fade Pollard. I was not on him. And so that was the good part of what I did with that Dallas game, but maybe getting a secondary receiver that was probably going to stay on the field in spite of a blowout, that probably was ultimately the play. As we scroll down, I mean, you mentioned Jared Goff, hard to ignore him at home against Chicago. He should be able to pass all day against them. I think the question becomes, you know, what happens with David Montgomery and Gibbs? How much run do they get? How much is Goff actually passing in that game in a 9-point spread? I think the answer is probably still a decent amount. So I like Goff. As we scroll down, like, I do like Goff at 6,600. Some of these guys below him, Kyler Murray at 6,100. I mean, I have no argument with that whatsoever. I mentioned Jordan Love as maybe a contrarian play at 5,600 going against that Chargers defense, which is just terrible. Anybody you like in that, like, you know, slightly high to mid 5K, low 5K range?
We're still waiting to hear on Fields' status, correct?
Yes,
as far as potential pushback. Okay, so obviously that's a note for everybody to just pay attention to, because obviously if Fields is playing, I like that game even more and the potential pushback. So I do have interest in Goff. We all always know he's had a great season, but we always know at home kind of the stats seem to be there even more. So I definitely have interest at Goff. I agree with you. Kyler was a pleasant surprise. I didn't think it was going to be that good so soon. And so I definitely have interest in Kyler. And of course, we talk about it each and every week, but Howell is throwing at an insanely high clip. And I think, you know, yes, they should blow the Giants out this time, one would hope. But again, just like the Dak situation, if he's responsible for a big part of that, I'll consider that as well.
Yeah, and Uwe2K is in here. I always have to read his comments because he's always in here. Everybody hit the like button if you can. David Clark, Ball Life, Chris Kish, thank you all for being in here. He says, MJ and friends, by the way, don't want to forget you. Think a Murray stack could be good. Everyone eats in games versus Texas. That's exactly right. And Murray's only 6,100. And what's interesting is, you know, I wasn't really on Marquise Brown. I wasn't necessarily buying the Marquise Brown hype. I didn't think that relationship was necessarily going to like instantly come back. I was in on Trey McBride, though. I mean, I think you can stack Kyler Murray with a bunch of guys. You could do it with Marquise Brown, of course, but Michael Wilson's in play. Trey McBride is in play. You can get some of those lower options and still bring it back with. Now, what's interesting is whether Nico Collins is going to be healthy. What does that mean for guys like Noah Brown? We know Robert Woods got in the mix. Tank Dell's obviously very good. Like, that's kind of a problem on the Houston side, which is probably why I'm going to be playing a lot of Dalton Schultz, because I don't think his role changes a ton, notwithstanding however many receivers are healthy. So that's going to be an interesting game to stack. You're going to have to sort of guess right on that CJ Stroud side, but you don't have to do too much guessing, I don't think, right? As much guessing on the Kyler Murray side. So Uwe2K, I love that play. Any low-end quarterbacks before we go on to running backs that we haven't already discussed, Meg?
You know, each week I do try to look for those values. Last week I was able to find Baker. This week I really don't see it down low. I mean, a little bit higher right under how you could, I don't mind Purdy at 5,800, but I really don't see like the under 5.5K values that I saw last week. And I'm just going to avoid that and stick in that mid to high range at quarterback.
Totally agree. Although I do think it's worth pointing out Tyson Bagent's 5,000. If you think he's going to be able to keep pace in to any degree, I think a Bagent to like a DJ Moore stack is maybe in play. I mean, Bagent doesn't really throw the ball downfield, but that doesn't mean he's not going to pepper DJ Moore for 10 targets and maybe DJ Moore takes two to the house. And, you know, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, that they're obviously involved there. I don't know that I'm going to get there. And I also think Will Levis at Jacksonville, like the Jacksonville defense is solid. But I mean, can Will Levis get there at 5,200? I'm probably not going to get there either. I just think it's worth at least pointing out that he's only 5,200. Right. Aiden O'Connell at 4,900 against the Dolphins. I'm probably not going there. That's my limit. I don't think that warrants discussion, even though that is going to be a game where Aiden O'Connell is going to be in comeback mode in a big way. So maybe on Friday we'll have more to say about that. We'll have more to say about the running backs too. But before we get there, let's take a break and hear a message from our partners.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
So let's bring up the running backs, Meg. There's, I think, a decent amount to talk about. I mentioned A-Chain coming off IR. I know that that's a guy that you're going to be interested in. When we look at the top of this board here, listen, CMC didn't have a great game last week, but he still had a good game, even though he didn't like score a touchdown. So, I mean, I think he's always in play. The price continuing to kind of rise with Christian McCaffrey. I totally get it. I don't know that you run against Tampa Bay, but good news, Christian McCaffrey doesn't have to run to get there. Just like last week, we knew he wasn't going to run against Jacksonville, and he almost got there. He just kind of needed to get in the end zone. It was just a very subpar game for him, but he didn't really do anything wrong. As we scroll down, though, you know, Eckler is interesting to me in this matchup. I mean, I think the Keenan Allen run back isn't – like if you're playing that game, if you're trying to get pieces in that game, Keenan Allen with that AC joint injury, we don't really know his status there. I'm kind of – afraid to play Keenan Allen. I think Eckler might be the pay up option on that team. Jacobs is up here. You know, I don't mind him. I don't know if I'll get there, although the price is kind of decent there at, I guess, 6,500. Anybody at the top that you like? Maybe let's say 6,200 and above.
Actually, for me, it probably is Jacobs of all of them, just because the coach has said, you know, he wants to get him to that century mark. He wants to, you know, ride with Jacobs. And he showed that on, you know, Sunday night. So while I really do love CMC and Eckler, and I will definitely, they're always in consideration, right? I would say of the top guys, Jacobs stands out to me. And maybe it's because I'm very much gravitating towards that Miami-Vegas game the most out of all the games.
Yeah, and you forgive me because Jacobs is 6,800. I might have said 6,500. And Meg, to your point, 27 rush attempts last week, plus he had 2 receptions. So, I mean, this guy is – and he had 26 rush attempts the week before. This guy's definitely getting the work. Who else?
Well, then a little bit. So that's at top, a little further down. I want to hear the Miami situation. I'm again, very interested in that Miami Vegas game. So, you know, I would probably lean to a chain coming back. But I want to dig deeper, obviously. And I just think that's something for everybody to consider as we dig deeper in our research is, you know, try to kind of parse through what it is going to be like for the Miami backfield. Cause I do have interest in the Miami backfield. I'm interested in the Lions backfield too, which is now very much split. So it makes it difficult. But if they're playing from a very positive game script, I'd say, and you're not doing a golf build, I actually don't mind Montgomery. It was very split. I was surprised, honestly, that Gibbs got so much of like even the goal line carries. It was basically split 50-50 for goal line too. But I think I'd maybe pay down a little with Montgomery there. And I have some interest in Breece Hall. Listen, you know, Zach Wilson experience is awful to watch. However, they have to ride Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson to have any chance, any prayer. So, you know, Breece Hall, I think they should be using Breece Hall more like a CMC Eckler and throwing the ball to him. He's so explosive. I don't understand why they don't utilize him more. I'm not a coach, so we'll leave that to them. But I would love to see him get involved more there. And at that price, if he could get involved a little more there, we can see how he can break off long runs, long, break off a pass for a long gain. So I have a little interest in Breece Hall at the top too, or at the midward range.
Yeah, interesting. I don't see a lot yet in sort of the low range at the running back position that I'm really craving to play. It was similar last week where you could have played like Devin Singletary at 4,700. And by the way, he's relatively cheap this week too, I believe 5,300. But below that, I don't see a lot. I'm going to ask you about four guys in the mid 6K to mid 5K range. And I want to get a yes or no from you. This is like almost like game show, like where no analysis.
Okay, rapid
yes
fire. No. Okay.
The first guy is a guy I completely faded last week. Apparently everybody thought he was the hot play. Don't really get it. But now he's sort of at a price where I do kind of get it. Tony Pollard, 6,600, yes or no?
Yes.
I get that. Yeah, I think I might be yes finally on Tony Pollard too. Rashad White at 6,000.
I struggle with this one. Probably no, but he keeps making me pay for that.
Yeah, he's that's fair. He's at San Francisco, 6,000. You know he's getting the volume, particularly in the passing game. So that's why you might play him in a trailing game script against San Francisco. Brian Robinson, 5,800 against the New York Giants.
Very much yes.
Yeah, that one just makes so much sense. I mean, it's hard to get away from him, even though Brian Robinson doesn't inspire like a ton of confidence. But the fact that he got so much passing work, in fact, can you click on his game log? Because I think this is going to surprise some people that may have not been paying attention to that Seattle Washington game. This last game here, he had 6 receptions, 119 yards, and by the way, 6 targets. So he was really efficient. I think that matters. Efficiency matters for a guy that's not typically a pass-catching running back. Even if you take his 51-yard catch and run for a touchdown away, that's still 5 for 60, essentially, if not a little bit more. So what that speaks to is like they're really utilizing him. Granted, he only had 8 rushes, but against the Giants, I mean, he could have 3 receptions in 19 rush attempts and really get there against the Giants, especially if Washington can create some short fields, which I'm not 100% sure they can do that, frankly, given the state of their defense, but something to think about anytime Tommy DeVito is the quarterback. All right, a couple more yesterday before we get over to the wide receivers. James Conner, 5,700. That's that Houston game.
Yes, definitely.
I like James Conner a lot too. And finally, Devin Singletary.
No, I'm not buying it. I'm just not in it. on that enough. I don't think he's talented enough to, but he made me pay last week. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I played a little bit of it maybe in one lineup last week. So I wasn't really in on him last week. It did make sense to go to him to some degree, but obviously going to CJ Stroud made more sense. I mean, the guy is just like crushing it. So that game again against Arizona is going to be really interesting. Did we leave any running backs out or can we move on to wide receivers?
Those are the ones that I'm most, we hit on definitely the ones that I'm most interested.
Okay, let's move on to the wide receiver position. A lot to talk about up top. I mean, obviously, we've got Tyreek Hill, who I obviously love. We've got Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's down there a little bit at 6,800, who I, or I should say, not 6,800. I wish he was 6,800. Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's at 8,800. Tyreek Hill at 9,300. Those are the two that stand out to me. Again, Keenan Allen will have to monitor his injury. I'm not super confident that even if he plays, he's going to be super effective or that he's not going to re-injure himself. CeeDee Lamb obviously makes sense, but that price is really high at 9,200. Who do you like here at the top or near the top?
I mean, my favorites are the guys I mentioned in the games I'm kind of targeting for GameStack, Tyreek Hill, Amon-Ra St. Brown. But I will say I do have, again, a little interest. If I'm going to do a DAX stack, it will be with CeeDee Lamb if I run one of those, even in a potential blowout game. And then I'm willing to go back to Cooper Kupp. If Matthew Stafford's back, they're coming off the bye, you know, in that division matchup. I'm willing to go back to Cooper Kupp. I would imagine a potentially low ownership.
Yeah, that makes sense. Uwe 2K, by the way, I want to answer that question. Is playing both lines running backs a bridge too far? I think it is. Meg, what's your comment there?
I would agree. I mean, they both did amazing last week, but it's still hard to maybe hit that total ceiling. So I agree.
Yeah, and against the Chargers, like any run game or passing game can do well. So I feel like even in a good matchup against the Bears, I feel like they will run the ball against the Bears. There's no question. But I feel like probably you're just going to want to take guess right on one of those guys. And you also asked, any love for Saquon in Washington? I don't hate it. I don't think I'm going to get there. But I mean, Saquon's going to get so much volume. It certainly makes sense that he can pile up 100 total yards and a touchdown. Right. I don't know that he can have like the true ceiling game, though. Right, Meg?
Agreed. And I think I just at that price range, I probably would just lean more into the Jacobs area.
Okay, so let's move down a little bit to some of the other wide receivers, and we'll rattle some of these off pretty fast. You know, Mike Evans makes sense to me. I played him a little bit last week. I think D-Hop is in a decent bounce back spot to really get soak in some targets. Tank Dell at 5,900. I mean, he's always going to make sense. You just have to keep in mind that there is a lot of people to feed. So it'll be interesting how people play their stacks and what we decide on Friday, how to play that Houston stack. On the other side of that, we mentioned Marquise Brown at 5,300. But honestly, I might go ahead and pay down at Michael Wilson at 3,400 and play Trey McBride, who is pretty cheap as well. I think he's under 4K. We'll get to tight ends in a second. Those are some of like the 5K receivers I like. I think if you play a Jordan Love stack, if you're gutsy enough to do that, I think Romeo Doubs makes sense. I think maybe Jaden Reed at 4,000, who got a ton of targets last week and was pretty efficient with them. I think if you're playing Kyler Murray stacks, Rondale Moore at 3,300 is at least interesting, along with Michael Wilson at 3,400. I'll point out Noah Brown's 4,800. I'm not sure, Meg, I'm going back to Noah Brown just because Nico, like if Nico's healthy, I just not 100% sure where Noah Brown fits in with that receiver right. core. And I don't know that I want to chase what he's done the last 2 weeks. I mean, I played him last week a little bit, played him the week before, but I think this might be the week I end up coming out on him. I think I mentioned most of the receivers I like in that sort of middling range, but how about some receivers that we haven't mentioned that you like as well?
I actually have a little interest in any of the Seattle receivers, depending on kind of what fits. Obviously, JSN, you get the most value and savings on. But again, if I do have some interest, I'm not necessarily interested in playing either of the quarterbacks, but I do, if I have some interest in Kupp, maybe a run back there. I mentioned Garrett Wilson already. He's getting, I think, 13, 14 targets every game. They have to, right? I mean, it's basically Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Conklin. We'll get to that. And so I have a little interest in Garrett Wilson, despite his bad quarterback. And then I don't have interest in Lawrence, but I do have interest in like a Christian Kirk in that range in a likely negative game script. So those would probably be the ones in the mid range. You could definitely pay down on the Dallas receivers. I've been on them all season, didn't this week. And then yeah. Cooks and Gallup both had, you know, a good games respectively. Cooks went totally off. Curtis Samuel would be one other one I'd mention. You know, with Washington, they spread it out so much, so that's very difficult to pin down. But you, at least with Curtis Samuel, he's only, I believe, 3,800 or very reasonable price.
Yeah, I think Cooks is really interesting. I don't mind chasing those points. And maybe right. Carolina pushes back a little bit, but it wouldn't surprise me if we see Brandon Cooks being like the second quality receiver. And I'm not 100% sure the Cowboys, even though I like Pollard, I'm not 100% sure they can get the running game going. They might have to move the ball with the passing game. And I think Cooks will be involved there. A pretty decent pay down option. All right, we're going to move quickly to tight end and recap a couple of laps. But before we do that, one last break to hear a message from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
All right, we're moved on already, thanks to Nada, to the tight end position. Reminder, the FFT DFS contest is already live. It's in the chat description. It's in the YouTube description. It's in the podcast description. Let's start at the top, because I think, Meg, I'm going to fade Kittle and Laporta this week. I hate to do it. If somebody wants to pay up for Laporta, I totally get it. I think I'd rather start with Dalton Schultz. Like, that's where I'm going to start at the tight end position in all likelihood. And then I might just go all the way down to McBride, who we see here at 4,400. I think that's great value. I think Cole Kmet is decent value, especially if you're stacking that Detroit game. I think we've seen Cole Kmet get peppered with targets if Tyson Bagent is the quarterback. Now, if it's Justin Fields, the whole analysis switches, not just with Cole Kmet, but with that game in general. So we'll have to wait on that news. Luke Musgrave is starting to catch some balls, especially down the field. So 3,600, again, if you're willing to stack that game in any regard or at least get pieces in that game, I think Luke Musgrave is in play at 3,600. And you mentioned Tyler Conklin at 2,900. I think another decent pay down option is Michael Mayer in a situation where, listen, the Raiders are just going to have to pass the ball at some point in this game pretty much nonstop. And Mayer's the type of athletic tight end that can maybe do something with the ball once he gets it. We saw he was the only one to score a touchdown last week. By the way, I had him as a first touchdown score, which was pretty cool.
Love that.
At plus 2,800. Did I cover all the tight ends, or is there somebody sticking out to you, or maybe somebody I mentioned that is sticking out to you, like you're definitely going to want to play them?
You pretty much covered all of them. My favorites are the pay down options. I mean, I do love McBride, but my favorites are the pay down options in Conklin and Mayer. And I will just add one other flyer, Chigakonkwo at 3.2K. Mm-hmm. Again, we got to save money somewhere. You saw me struggle to find value other places. So we got to save money somewhere. And he got, I believe, 6 targets last week.
Yeah, and we know Okonkwo has the athleticism and speed to certainly break one. And for the record, the whole reason I brought up Michael Mayer is because, like, for me, I think he's going to end up being that pay down option, because I think, like, when we're talking sub 3K, like him versus Conklin, I love Conklin, but I think Mayer might, in this matchup, might have like more of the upside, considering the game script and just the quarterback situation and all of that. So there are a couple pay down options, but I really like Schultz and McBride, so I know I'm going to be playing a lot of them. Let's see who our FFT DFS winner played. Good lineup, really good lineup from him. I ended up, we'll look at one of my lineups that I put on, Meg. I don't know, do you play in the PME, the Pat Mayo's contest?
That's the one that I did pretty well in way more than a min cash with a Dotson Zero. Yeah, that was the PME contest. Yep.
Shoot, you know what? Next week, let's see. We'll compare notes, and maybe we'll put one of your lineups up here instead of one of mine, because I keep hogging the floor. Speaking of hogging the floor, somebody hogged all the money last week, and it wasn't winner take all this time, but it was KDR Spud who won our FFT DFS contest, and he did exactly what I did. He did the Jared Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown with the Keenan Allen run back. Listen, that ended up being affordable because of certain things that we're going to see on this board. So this lineup scored 208.42. It was Jared Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown, Keenan Allen run back, Joe Mixon, volume, Rashad White, volume. Now, listen, neither of them got there, but I absolutely understand both of those plays. Tyler Boyd really got there. I wasn't going to pay for Tyler Boyd. I went down to Trenton Irwin in those Cincinnati-like lineups where I had some some Bengals outside of Joe Mixon. But Tyler Boyd certainly got there sort of late in the game. Noah Brown was the key here at 3,700. That allowed him to get that Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Keenan Allen run back. It wasn't just Tyler Boyd. He got Noah Brown and Trey McBride in there and the Cardinals defense. So all of that made sense. The Cardinals defense certainly made sense. I played that as well. This is a really good lineup. Nothing really too crazy about this one. He fit in two sub 5K receivers that he knew were going to get volume. So don't be afraid to play those. Don't be afraid to play multiple sub 5K receivers if you know they're going to get volume. And I honestly, Noah Brown, I even had a prop on Noah Brown that I gave out on Sportsline over 41 and a half yards. He basically quadrupled it. I probably should have laddered it. I don't think I was able to. But the point is, some of these guys you know are probably going to get there. So don't be afraid to stick some low-end options in there. Let's look at my lineup. This is a lineup I put in the PME. For those of you that don't know what I'm referring to, it's a 3-max contest. There's no rake. Because Pat has pull, and so it's a really good contest to join. I did pretty well in this one. This was this is the main slate. It's not, you know, early afternoon or early morning. It's the entire slate here, and this looks familiar, right? Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown with a Keenan Allen run back. Mix in Rashad White at running back. That's literally a mirror image of KDR Spud. The only thing I did that was different, by the way, this lineup was 188.02, ended up winning $75 on a $15 entry, ranked 77th, I believe, out of 3,500 or 4,000.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, Brandon Powell was probably the mistake there. I mean, I could have put Trenton Irwin in there. I was just trying to get off what I thought was going to be some chalk, but Irwin would have really helped me out. I had Trey McBride at the tight end position. Jaylen Warren as my flex. I just thought he had some spike potential. I could have done something different with the flex there, including just putting Noah Brown in there. If I put in Noah Brown there and I did something else with Brandon Powell, this lineup would have like cruised. Cardinals defense, that was just a cheap defense that I wanted to play. Meg, that's my lineup. Any comments, whether it's about this lineup or whether it's just about the Week 11 slate, what you're looking forward to? Are you comfortable with this slate? Are you feeling good about it? Or you think you're going to want to do more kind of breaking up of the slate early? Or early and afternoon, or are you thinking, I love this main slate too much, I'm going to be all in there?
Well, first of all, your PME lineup did a little better than mine, but I had a Goff stack as well, so I liked your lineup a lot. As far as this week, I am struggling to find value right now, and I would say that is my biggest thing that I need to really work on as the week progresses. And yes, I will continue to split it up and do some early only, afternoon only, and main slate, because I think that's been helping me a lot this season.
Totally agree on splitting up the slates. Yeah, the one thing I'll say about this slate is I noticed it's a little, like, I thought the pricing was a little softer than I would have expected. So even though there's two things working kind of against each other, there's not a lot of value, at least not yet. We'll see as injury reports come out. Like at the running back and receiver position, there's not a ton, although in that Arizona game, we already found some, right? Some of those low options. But outside of that, I will say that up top, I think the pricing, outside of your Christian McCaffreys and those types, I think the pricing is a little softer than normal. So I think we will be able to get comfortable lineups in on the main slate. We'll talk to you way more about that on the Friday game-by-game preview. But for now, my name is Cian Ajad. That's Meg Schaub. And we always join you on Tuesday for our early look at the slate. We'll be doing it again next Tuesday. Hopefully you can join us for Week 12. Thank you for joining us now. Thanks for listening in, playing the contest, review the podcast.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.